open our Bibles tonight. God willing, we'll begin the letter of 2 Timothy. And so thankful to God, and how exciting the time that we live. And how on time the Word of God is, how perfect it is. And brothers and sisters, I think of how the Lord had us finish up this study in 1 Timothy this past week. And then to think that this 2 Timothy, this next letter, written just a mere year after Paul's first letter. And as encouraging as the first letter, by the grace of God, was and is, this one is even ramped up a bit more. This precious letter to, you talk about like fellow loved brother, is encouraging him, is encouraging us, that the time is short. And brothers and sisters, Paul knows very well the fight that God has graced his life with, but the fight that Timothy is going through, and the fight that Timothy, by God's grace, will go through. And brothers and sisters, I pray that we are encouraged in this, that this is ours, that we live in a time just as Timothy, and even more so, the pullings that are on our lives. He was despairing of his own life in many ways, and we'll touch on that in a minute. But brothers and sisters, whether it's the pullings, whether it's the fight, it's all dwarfed by the exceeding eternal weight of glory. The reward that's coming. Christ, my bridegroom. Timothy's, wake up. Timothy's, by God's grace, you have all the potential in Christ. Finish with a full joy. Don't just grin and bear it. Don't just think, well, I'm going to get through and I'm going to heaven. I will assure you that is not the sign nor the testimony of the ones that love his appearing. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Think about the times that the Lord is the most apparent in your life in loving his appearing. It's in trials. It's in tribulation. Now you're loving the appearing of the Lord? Huh? Ever thought of it that way, huh? There's his appearing, praise his name. Everybody wants to see Jesus. But boy, I'll tell you what, you really see Jesus when you're right down there in the midst of the fiery furnace. Matter of fact, those looking down there see him too. I thought we put three in there and I see four. I see one that looks like the Son of Man. Praise be to God. Now you're sure you love his appearing? Timothy's, and this is what Paul's talking about. Do we love that? Only grace can cause that. What do you think? Amen? Amen. Come on now. But see, brothers and sisters, if there was ever a letter addressed to us, I'm talking about a letter with our name on it, a letter written personally to you, a letter so timely and perfect for the moment, this is it. And praise be to God, it is ours in Christ, and it is. I'm so thankful that this is the Spirit ministering to the body of Christ. This is the Spirit ministering, run, attain, apprehend God's best. I appreciate so much reading Brother Copley's sweet notes on 2 Timothy. And it was so much as if he was sitting in the room in a lot of ways, just tickled thinking how this letter was so written personally to him at the time that God caused him to pen that study book on 2 Timothy. That the Holy Spirit through Paul would speak these words to us right now. And the words that you'll hear, if you'll have the ear that hears what the Spirit saith to the churches, go after it. Go after it. Don't let it pass you by. If by any means I might attain to that resurrection. Lord, I want to see you at the first trump rapture. I appreciate all the fringe benefits of getting out of here. I'm so thankful for the streets of gold, the crystal sea. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you see for me to rule and to reign jointly with you, to be glorified together with you. But Lord Jesus, thanks be to God, it's you. Praise the Lord. It's him, our lover, the lover of your soul. Lord, let me see your face. Praise his name. Now, you understand that, brothers and sisters, this is totally by grace. This is a life by God's grace that says, Lord, have your way. Mold me and make me after your will. Will and do in us your good pleasure. The sufferings are so temporal, the afflictions so light. Not one of the trials or temptations are worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters. And God help us to encourage one another in it. And this is this vessel, Paul. This is this vessel, Paul. Oh, what treasure God put in that earthen vessel. The letter from the heart of God to the messengers of grace. And that's who we are. Thank you, Jesus, that we have received the message of grace and glory. The glorious gospel of the crown glory. And it's all by grace. Oh, what a masterpiece he's making, brothers and sisters, that the word of his grace is building. And see, as we'll get into this, if you ever thought Timothy was a bit fearful, if you ever thought that Timothy was a bit apprehensive or having a trouble in the first letter, I'll tell you what, we haven't seen anything yet. Because Paul is still in prison. I'm sure that these brethren were hopeful that Paul would have been out. But Paul's still in prison. And all those that were so joyful to fight, they've dispersed. All in Asia, we'll learn, have forsaken Paul. All that sweet fellowship, it's gone. But I'll tell you something. Timothy was starting to feel it. And you can hear it in the Spirit's voice through Paul. Timothy, you're feeling the temptation to let down. Timothy, you're starting to feel the temptation to stop, to quit, to withdraw. Timothy, you're being tempted to question, why am I so adamant about this? Why am I so zealously going after the gospel of Christ? Why stand in defense of this glorious gospel? Now, I know none of us have felt like that. I know not a one here has ever felt that they ever had a thought to turn back. God help us, huh? And the reason that Paul could preach this is because Paul knew it. He lived it. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, to be saints, brethren, beloved brethren like this, that we want one another, not because of my desire, but because of the desire of the love of God in my life and in yours, for us to win. Nothing short. Withholding not a thing. Running with the vision of an eagle. Nothing but the finish line. Nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing but the glorious, powerful blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That's it. And see, this is what Paul was encouraging. And it wasn't just encouraging Timothy. It wasn't just encouraging us. It was encouraging Paul. And praise be to God, this was the encouragement was the word of his grace that will come forth. Because we know the word of the Lord tells us that the word of his grace is what builds us up, brothers and sisters. We become a masterpiece. And the only way we become his masterpiece is grace. And in becoming a masterpiece of grace, you become a masterpiece of faith. You become a masterpiece of believing God. You're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You're not dealt these blows and never get up. By God's grace, you live and feast upon sound doctrine, wholesome words. Oh, you got that for me, do you, enemy? Dirty devil. Well, God's got us all seated at his table, prepared for me. And I'll tell you what, I'm just feasting on grace. Amen? There it is. I know he's going to put my temptations on my left and my right and all of these different things. Brothers and sisters, he did not call us to a lotus land of ease. He called us to a wilderness. He just does it that way because that's where he's going to appear. That's where he's going to do his exceeding great and marvelous things. He's going to strip you by God's grace, if you'll let him, of all the worldly things. I'm talking about the things that will pull at you. The things that, will test you. And he'll bring you into that place. And he'll show himself faithful. Praise the Lord. And this is what God does. But see, brothers and sisters, Paul is encouraging this brother. And he says, brother, take the grace of God. Believe the word. You'll become a fighting machine of faith, a warrior. You'll be like a Samson, a David, and a Gilead, all rolled up in a double portion of Delisha. What do you think? Amen? Amen. You'll arise. You'll live the life that I've given you, the more than conquerors, through Christ who loved us. And brothers and sisters, that is the key. Love is the only thing that will do this. Understanding and seeing the love of God. That's why the word of the Lord tells us that we would know the love of Christ. That's it. To know the love of Christ. I don't want to prance around and try to express how much I love Jesus. I want to profess and teach and by God's grace be a minister and a testimony of how much Jesus loves me. That's the effectual working power. That I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. Amen. Now thank you, God, that it's this love that encourages us all the way along. It's his love for me, brothers and sisters, that sparks me when I feel dead. That ignites my soul when I think that the flame is out. That praise be to God, second wind after second wind after second wind. Oh, I love the kisses of his mouth. Amen. Come on. Let's enjoy the Lord. Amen. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. And I'm thankful to God how he draws us, never stopping, but he draws us with his love. We'll read, brothers and sisters, if the Lord tarry. And I believe we'll begin to understand it's his love for us. It's his love for us that persuades us that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. See, that's what his love does. It causes you to believe the word of God. It causes you not to go by sight. It causes you not to go by feeling or experience or, well, the past did this, so this is how it's going to be again. It doesn't work that way. Brothers and sisters, we go by faith. And I'm learning more and more about faith. It's the thing I never expected. It's the way I never thought. It's, praise you, Jesus, it's the ways of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And thank you, God, that your ways are beyond finding out. Thank you, God, that it's your way that perfects that which concerns me. I can try to plot it out. I can try to plan it out. I can try to get it to the greatest of detail how it's going to be. Give it up. Quit of yourself. And by God's grace, enjoy the glory ride. It's awesome. It's awesome. He does, as brother prayed, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The question is, will you wait on him? That's who he is. That's what he does. But will you wait? Will you be patient? Will you let patience have her perfect work? Or is it going to be my immediate flesh need that's going to trump all the glory that could be? I don't want to miss it. Pray for me. I pray for you. I don't want to miss that. God, help me to be still and know that He is God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what testimony we've had in this place. Thanks be to God for that. The kings that are in no hurry, that wait upon the Lord. Children thrash around. Children are impatient. But the wise kings, they wait. And they're patient. They know that the way of escape has already been made. They know that if He be for me, who could be against me? What you think? All right? Okay, Timothy's. Because here the Spirit of the Lord through Paul is pouring it out on old Timothy. And praise be to God, it's because Paul loves him. See, Paul could have chosen, well, they've all deserted me. I guess I'm just going to turtle up and die. Oh, no. He even got more passionate. There's one out there, Lord. There might just be one. And I want to preach the love of God. If there is just but one that will receive it. Lord, I don't want to go until my appointed time. But until that last breath, let me preach the great and mighty and incredible love of God. That it is worth it all. That praise God for this testimony He's put in my life. That, Lord, I've been tried. All those things that You've done in my life, I count them but dung, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I just love the love of God in Brother Paul. And see, he wasn't discouraged either. As we're going to start this, think of this. He didn't go at old Timothy. Oh, Timothy, I'm so disappointed. Timothy was having a hard time. He said, come on, rise up. You're appointed, called, chosen. And why? Because of the word of His grace. The same word of His grace that you have received. There's no difference. The effectual working power of God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is to you. This is your time. Praise God. This is time to arise. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I love that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Boy, this makes me so thankful that this brother magnified nothing but Christ. Thanks be to God that he was an apostle, not because of his will, not because of any man's will, not because of any man's hands or any man's mind or any seminary, nothing but what counts by the will of God. Think of the will of God, the will that I would all men be saved. And come to the full, exact, complete, intimate knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Now, how marvelous that this will of God made Paul, called Paul, an apostle. Power, brothers and sisters, that's in that. You think about the perfect anointing that was upon and through Paul's life. Because it was God's will. Listen to that. Don't you want God's will? I want God's will. I want to take that place so thankfully, gladly, in the body that he's given me, because that's the very perfect will of God. If he's made me the left third toenail, thank you, Jesus. The 14th hair on the left side of the... Come on now. What do you think? Well, nobody sees me. That's a good place to be. Because you know why? Because it's God's place for you. But you know what? In due time, oh, he'll exalt. Don't worry. Hey, Satan, have you seen my servant Job? Come on now. You know these things. And aren't we thankful? See, he's authoring and finishing our faith. Can you not just see the pen? Can you hear the pen on your life? Can you feel the pen? Praise the Lord, you can. That's his hand writing and writing upon your life. Now, brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful because God's will is always the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. It's always going to be in his Son. Nothing else. Isn't that wonderful? People say, oh, it's God's will that I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And it has nothing to do with the Word of God, but I know it's God's will. Well, we know that couldn't be, because it has to be his Son. It has to magnify his Son. The Word, praise God. And thank you, Jesus, that it is that simple. But brothers and sisters, we know that God has promised us that Christ in us is the hope of glory. It is all there. We have his life, and so we have all sufficiency for all things, that we superabound. But the thing that we have to realize is that's not for some later time. The time is now. The time to superabound is right now. Praise be to God. Against all odds. Against everything. That's the time. That's the perfect time for this superabounding faith that God so graciously pours out on our lives through his word. And we need to encourage ourselves in this, as Brother David encouraged himself in the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we cannot delay. We cannot put this off by God's grace. See, we're in the home stretch. We cannot grow weary in well-doing. The throne glory is at hand. His love is too great. It's too wonderful to let slip through our hands, brothers and sisters. As he called out, and have you heard him say to you, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's yours. Praise be to God. The Bible does speak to you like that. Whether or not you want to hear it like that, the Bible speaks to you like that because that's the will of God. It is. The whole counsel of God for you is the will of God. He wants that. He is not a respecter of person. He wants you to run and to finish with a full joy. He does not want you to lay defeated, discarded on that race course. Rise up, my love, my dove, my fair one, and come away. Praise God. Now, brothers and sisters, you notice here in verse 2, as it said to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. I'll tell you what, man. If you can't hear the passion in that, if you don't sense the urgency, if you don't just, praise God, realize, and I'll use this term, feel the love, you're in a coma. You just are. If you're a child of God, you ain't dead, but you're comatose. Wake up. Wake up. Listen to these words. How wonderful. See, it's not only to Timothy, my son in the faith. That's what he said in the first letter. My son in the face. That's incredible. That's encouraging to my heart. But here it's my dearly beloved son. Sounds like we're at a wedding. My dearly beloved son. And we are. We're at a wedding. We're getting ready. The wife hath made herself ready. She's walking wedding bells all around. Even through the valley of the shadow of death. Even through the fiery furnace, even out through all that wilderness. Praise be to God. She knows. It's time. It's bridal time, brothers and sisters. And it's so wonderful here because the body and the head of the groom, in this love that was put in Brother Paul, he sees that they're one. He sees that there's no difference in the love. And see, this is what the bride sees. The bride treats the glorious body with such care and compassion. The bride cares for the body of Christ. As Paul, he oozed that wonderful grace and mercy and peace. Now think about that. What a trio that's coming forth. And see, the grace, the mercy, and peace, brothers and sisters, we know that that comes from the Lord. But do you know that the Lord uses us to pour forth that precious grace, mercy, and peace to one another? It's so awesome. As we pray in Jesus' name, as we preach the word of his grace, he uses us in this. Grace, mercy, and peace. Filled with all the fullness of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Has nothing, in a sense, nothing to do with you, but everything to do because of Jesus in you. Thank you, Lord, for this. And see, brothers and sisters, as we start into this too, we always hear and read and know that grace is always first. Grace is all the power. Grace is the all-sufficiency for all things, that we superabound to every good work, and it's always. And God's grace is what it is, brothers and sisters. And then it goes on to mercy, and I love that. And mercy came a-running. And that's the Son. See, you have the Trinity at work all the time, brothers and sisters. It's so true. See, that mercy, praise the Lord, is always there to remind us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, when condemnation tries to rear its ugly head in our lives, mercy through the blood encourages our heart. No, there's no guilt in thee. Clean, whiter than the snow. How wonderful, brothers and sisters, that he taken care of that. That's all been nailed to the cross. See, I have that peace with God, and now begins peace of God. The very peace of God. Thank you, Lord. I don't worry about those things. Thank you, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb. That has all been taken care of. My sin, as far as the east is from the west, all put into the sea of forgetfulness. Thanks be to God for what he's done. Hallelujah, the faithful one who is so true. And now, by the grace of God and through that mercy, you talk about peace, brothers and sisters. The peace that passes all understanding, the very peace of Jesus Christ. And I would hope that you understand that peace, that's why he's called the Comforter. It's the peace that passes all understanding. And why is that? Because it's the Comforter that comes and sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. It's the Holy Ghost that causes you to know, taking the things of Christ and making them yours. And what is the greatest thing of Christ? It's his love. And how much he loves you. And how much he wants for you. That it's all yours. This is all yours. I want you to rule and to reign and to be glorified together with me. Now you talk about a peace. You talk about a bride, a real bride, a readied wife that knows that her husband loves her. Husbands, love your wives. See, that's what he does. That's why she rests. That's why she doesn't need to worry about things. Because the only thing that matters is him. He has it all. He owns it all. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And I'm his. Isn't that incredible? And in that, and that's how it is. Not will be someday. That's how it is. That's the peace that passes all understanding. And in one moment of unbelief, we completely just turn away from it. And it's right there. It's right there. And all I did, I didn't move, but all I did was do this. Isn't that something? Praise God. Peter so simply showed us as he was walking on water looking at the face of Jesus. And let me tell you something, that could never even compare to what Christ has prepared for them that love him. Oh yeah, this is incredible stuff. Hallelujah. Where he takes us, praise the Lord, always in his love. But see, brothers and sisters, when we apprehend this grace and mercy to the fullest, it brings that peace, it brings that comfort. And the beautiful thing is knowing that the Trinity, the oneness of the Godhead, but the three different workings, praise the Lord. Can you imagine how that is? It's perfect. It's in harmony. And each does such a magnifying of Christ in us. How precious this is working. Again, it's the peace that passes all understanding. And why is it the peace that passes all understanding? Because it's the peace that knows how much our lover is for us. That we understand that again, as that wife rests in her husband, and that causes the husband to trust in the wife. Praise God, we know that in that virtuous woman. But brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful because we understand that he loves us constantly. He loves us continually. He loves us forever faithful. He's before us. He's behind us. He's enabling us to superabound in everything. Every trial, brothers and sisters, that we can be comforted in every shortcoming of our lives. He does not leave us comfortless, does he? I fail a lot. I'm going to get in the front of the line. And I'm not kidding. But he has not left me comfortless. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. The knowledge of his love to us, brothers and sisters, causing us to rest in everything. Has he caused you to rest? And to take rest, even in the appointed time of failure in your life? Come on now. David. Peter. Brothers and sisters, it had to be that way. I know the crowd didn't want to see that stuff. Thought God was just going along, and oh my goodness, how'd you do that? What happened there? David, what are we going to do now? It don't work that way. David, I saw it in ages past. I saw it. Got a perfect path for you, honey. Are you going to believe God like that? Are you going to let the enemy say, oh, that's just something too big for God? Come on. I believe I read that he restores my soul. Amen? Okay. This is what this is. See, brothers and sisters, he uses the deserts and the valley of the shadow of death and the fiery furnaces. They're all part of the perfect plan to win God's best. Period. It would never happen without it. You know it. You know these things. You believe the Word of God says these things. You believe it for somebody else. But the hardest time I have believing it is for me. Oftentimes, I just can't forgive myself. Lord, I know. How? Why? Come on, Timothy. The word of his grace. It'll take you on. Didn't realize it had all this stuff in here, did you? And we're just looking at the surface of it. Just looking. Let me tell you something, folks. This is it. This is it. This is what is forever. This is all that will ever be. The word. The only thing that will endure forever. I tell you, does it thrill you? Thinking how incredible this world is? All the things that, my goodness, are at our fingertips now with this internet, and, oh, I can look up this, and shoot, I can do brain surgery tomorrow. I saw a guy do it. But what God has allowed us to do and to see, and man, all of these things, it's incredible, isn't it? But yet all of that is foolishness to God. Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. Know these things. Okay? Now he'll use it, and he will. But brothers and sisters, here it is. And that's what is exciting me more and more and more, is to think, Lord, what are the exceeding riches of your grace in here? Because the Bible tells me so. That isn't some wild imagination. It's the word of the Lord. God help us. We know that this life is but a vapor, brothers and sisters. A lot of us have known each other around here for a lot of years. And we're not growing any younger. We're not. I see my peers. Praise God, my elders. It's but a vapor. Short time. Redeem it, honeys. Because no matter what I take you through, the sufferings, the pain, the trials, torments, all of these different things, I'm going to allow it. Remember that Holy Spirit, he took Jesus out into the wilderness and allowed him to be tempted. Okay? And greater things than I. He's going to show himself, magnify himself faithful in you. He's going to do it. You're going to stand back and say, Lord, I cannot believe what's going on here. I can't believe that man of God that you are. You're just a man of God. Because it's you, Christ. Because I know, oh wretched man, that I am. And I'm watching you do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. Enjoy him. All right, 3-5. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers in pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Isn't that something? What filled Paul's heart with joy? The battle, the test. That only happens, brothers and sisters, when we look to the Word of God. See, I've testified before in my own life where God has placed me as a pastor. There's things that God allows me to see and to enter in, and people come and talk with me about. I'm telling you, I could enter in to the depths of a sorrow that I could never get out of because of the pain. But God in his word, I see he's working it together for your good. I know that he's perfecting that which concerns you with that. He's taking every downsetting, hallelujah. He's taking all of those weaknesses, infirmities. And now, honey, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do for him. I'm going to have the power of Christ just rest upon him. It's mighty. It's incredible. And then at the same time, as the Lord has you soaring, I'll tell you what. You got to temper you all the time too. Praise be to God. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now, as he starts out here in verse 3 again, I thank God. Isn't that wonderful? See, all glory, all thanks was always to God. Always to God be the glory. Always glorying, magnifying Jesus for all things. This love for Timothy, he even acknowledges right here, this isn't my love. This is his love. This is the grace of God working in me. I'm thankful to the Lord that we know this, brothers and sisters. In our lives, we know that of me, there is nothing in me that's anything good. It's all him. We know that any love we have, it's all him. But praise be to God, because Paul knew this, God brought the Father's heart into Paul. The care, the love of Christ for brethren to grow up into him in all things. Not just birthing ones. I love this about Paul. No. Mm-mm. Paul wanted them to grow up. And if they weren't going to take the things to grow up, he was going to move on. Wasn't going to waste time with that. God would move him. Praise the Lord. He spent time with those ones at Corinth, and he wanted to get out of there. God had him there for a reason. So much was being worked in Paul's life at that time to wait on the Lord, to obey, to just be content in whatsoever state I'm in, even with these bunch of nuts, childish ones. Want to go out and compare who's got the greater gift? I got more faith than you. Huh? Oh, watch this. I can prophesy. Let's all get in a circle. You know that goes on today, quite a few places. It's sad, and these are God's children. But I underscore children, because when we act like children, it's because we refuse to grow up. Because God wants mature sons. And we know this. This whole word, brothers and sisters, is a calling to grow up. And not just to grow up, but to grow up into him in all things. There's a perfect pattern, and it's Christ in you. Amen? That's why that precious bridal company, the four living ones, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's all there. They're like him. They're fiery. That's why, as John was encouraged in spirit to write Revelation, John, the one who laid his head upon Jesus' breast, the one who Christ said, oh, that's the one that loves me, the one that I love. Praise God. But yet he was the one also being walked around by a brother in heaven and kept wanting to bow down and worship him. So he must have looked like somebody he knew. What do you think? Amen? Little things mean a whole lot. Line upon line and line upon line. Now, brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful because the love of God, when it's magnified in us, when we yield to God, it desires all his perfect and complete will in the body. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is here and manifest in the love of the saints. And this is what's going on in Paul's life as he's encouraging Timothy. And then in verse 4, you see in Paul, he so desired that fellowship of like precious faith. He says to him, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And thanking the Lord, that verse, and God help us never to take it lightly, to gather, to assemble ourselves, the much the more as we see that day approaching. Brothers and sisters, if we don't have a fervent heart to come together of the people of like precious faith, we need to pray. Lord, help me. Help me to desire that fellowship. Help me not to just desire it, but pant for it. That I want, by God's grace, to be around the people that are running for your best. To be encouraged by them. To have that to be my joy. as it was for love, the love that Paul had that was so evident to see Timothy fully mature, to see him face to face. And oh my, as it says here, he was mindful of his tears. Brothers and sisters, we need to be mindful of one another's tears. We need to be mindful as Paul was. Timothy was hurting. Perfect love casts out all fear. But let me tell you something. We're in the battle. And precious Timothy was in a battle. Paul knew it. The Lord encouraged Paul's heart, gave him discernment in it. But I'll tell you what, Timothy may have been fearful that he might too be in prison soon. We know that it will also tell us that, Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. But how could he not be when the enemy's bombarding you with lies? Trying to get you down, others fleeing. What are you doing here? Paul must be wrong. God's punishing him. You ever heard Christians talk about other Christians that way? Oh, you know, if you're serving God and you're yielding, you're gonna walk through easy street. Coming up, sunshine. Let me tell you something. The Bible does not contradict itself. If you want to reign with him, you're going to suffer with him. You are. And if you deny him the right to allow you those gifts to suffer with him, he'll deny you the right to reign with him. It's just going to be that way. That's why we need to pray for one another. And this is what Paul was encouraging his sweet brother of like precious faith. Don't be discouraged. Sure, there's ones that are ashamed. And Brother Timothy, let me tell you something. All this rejection, it's coming your way too. God's not a respecter of person. He's going to have you suffer for his sake. Because he wants this. He wants you to rule and to reign with him. He wants you to enter in to that precious oneness of a husband and a wife. You know, this isn't some, you know, you don't get married and say, wow, honey, that's too bad that happened. I'm going to go away for a while, and when you fix that, I'll be back. You wouldn't be married too long, would you? You get in the yoke together. You pull together. And praise be to God, it's his yoke, isn't it? And his burden is light. But I'm so thankful that again, this is him bringing that bridal harmony in our lives. But see, I'm sure that Timothy was just discouraged, brothers and sisters, as we all read into this. Maybe he thought, Lord, Brother Paul loves you so much and yet you left him in prison. How could it be worth it? But there was precious Paul. Enlightened, quickened to tell Timothy, no, brother, this is the richest of gain that I could ever have been given, because it is given on behalf to suffer for his sake. Amen? Yes. This was the one who gloried in his infirmities. Happy are ye when this stuff is hitting. And the only way is, as we'll finish up tonight in verse 5, and Paul brings him right back to that, unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith, brothers and sisters. In the saddest, most discouraging environment there ever could be, this was how the Lord turned it in Brother Paul's heart. This is how he did not sink into despair. He rejoiced in unfeigned faith. It encouraged him. It encouraged him so much, he encouraged Timothy in it. Because faith is always the victory. Faith is always the victory. Nothing can stand against the Word of God. It's impossible. The devil has got to flee. The Lord himself showed us that. As he was drawn out into the wilderness, as he was tempted, and praise the Lord, just as we fight the good fight of faith today, it is written. It is written. Take your fiery darts and go home. It is written. Can you be that bold? That's not in yourself. That's in the word of the Lord. Because he promised this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you really, really believe that? I pray we do. Stand on the promises of God. They are yea and amen. Done. Finished. Tried, perfect in every way. Thank you, Jesus. But brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful because Paul goes on to say, this was the evidence in your mother and in your grandmother. The whole counsel of God message. That's really what this is penetrating right to his heart. Brother, you know it. You know this. You have this faith because the grace of God has given it to you. That is who you are. I'm not listening to the lies, and you shouldn't either. He's called you. He's chose you. Do you believe these things, brothers and sisters? Do you believe that he will perform the good work that he's begun? Do you? Do you really believe that he'll perfect that which concerns you? He wasn't kidding. Trust him. I know that he has delivered this message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus to me. And I'm looking at my brothers and sisters of like precious faith, and he has delivered that same message to you. Will you believe that he will perform that good work which he's begun? Do you believe it? Praise the Lord. And not that I have apprehended. No, I understand that. But I am sure counting him that is faithful and true to perform it, to finish it right here with a full joy. Because it's his desire. It's his good pleasure. Isn't that wonderful? He rejoices in this. That's the rest. That's God's rest. And that is to the people of God. And I believe that's what they call us. In heaven. Amen? Because we're seated there. Praise Jesus. Let's close this up. Brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful. This precious mom and grandma, they had that faith, that unfeigned faith. And I call unfeigned faith all the way faith. All the way. They don't turn back. It goes all the way. My hair's standing up because I know by God's grace, by his grace, he's given you all the way faith. I believe it. I believe him. Not just good thinking, it's the word of the Lord. And as Brother Paul says, and you know what, brother? You got that same gospel too. And praise God, brother, just like the Lord did for me, just like he did for your mom, and just like he did for your grandma. He heard you, and he's come for thy words. And he's going to play that symphony out on you. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus overture. It's the truth. Oh, he will perform it. Praise God. All those victories of faith recorded in Hebrews 11. And brothers and sisters, all the faith that is yet to be authored and finished in us in Christ. Can you imagine? And that's, listen, a better thing. Greater faith. Oh, to believe those things. Oh, yes. And there's no stopping faith, brothers and sisters, as we yield to God. Because remember, it's faith that pleases God. And God wants to be pleased. He wants to be pleased. He loves that pleasure, his good pleasure. And it's impossible to please God without faith. So he has to take us to places, events, and things in our life where it would be impossible for us to believe naturally. And it has to be the power of Christ. Yes, that's faith. If I could see it, it wouldn't be faith. If I could feel it, it wouldn't be faith. So I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to feel it. I might not even taste it or smell it. But praise be to God, eyes enlightened with the understanding that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's as simple as it is. That's why he even brings us back to faith like a child. Yes. Some respects much easier as a parent when you got teeny weeny ones. Well, I better not say that. My brothers were kidders. Well, I have to. John's here, so I can talk about him. But I'll leave you with this. It's a funny story, even if I keep you over a little bit. But my sweet brother John, he had this picture. And it had his head superimposed on Arnold Schwarzenegger's body. And I remember he had it out there. He kind of put it out and he'd play with the little guys once in a while. So I'd bring my kids over to his house. And they said, "Uncle John, is that you?" He said, "Yeah." Evan looked back at that thing. He looked back at John. "What happened?" Now, I can't tell you the punchline. No, I can't. But you get what I'm talking about. Because I would get in trouble. Even though it is funny. Unfeigned faith. God said it, and it's so. Not just so out here or there, it's so for me. God said it, and it is so for me. These are my promises. He's my beloved. So, brothers and sisters, his promises are yea and amen. Everything in the Word of God is divine. And the only thing that is divine is his Word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And aren't we thankful tonight? Aren't we thankful tonight that he has built more of that, what pleases him in our lives? And remember this. The Word works effectually, dynamitely, in them that believe. We believe in saints by His grace. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand and